I invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 1 this morning. Matthew chapter 1.
We'll begin reading in verse number 18, and as we do so, I'd invite you to stand out of respect to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 1, begin with verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being an unjust man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider just a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we once again this Christmas time consider this wonderful, what we call Christmas story, though it actually is history that God recorded for us. One of the things that I noticed this time around is the name. And we're all familiar with the name Jesus. It's the same as the Old Testament Joshua, and that word means Jehovah saves or Jehovah brings salvation. But one that we're not quite as familiar with, though it's defined for us here in this passage of Scripture in verse number 23, is the word or the name Emmanuel, which, as God informs us, means God with us. And I'd like to take just a few minutes this morning and just consider that thought of this name Emmanuel, God with us. And as I consider that statement, I think of what all it involves. The first thing that it involves is it involves faith. You see, when Jesus was born, he was as any ordinary child was born. We know he wasn't born as a king or as a prince. He wasn't born into royalty. He wasn't born into aristocracy. He wasn't born into wealth and riches. He wasn't born into a politically powerful family. He was born just into an ordinary family of a carpenter. And so ordinary that he was born in this stable, laid in a manger. And so it requires faith on our part to realize that this one who is born of such ordinary circumstances into such ordinary circumstances is none other than God with us. None other than Emmanuel. As we consider what we just read and we see the quandary that Joseph found himself in as this young lady to whom he was espoused or soon to be wed to, and all of a sudden he finds that she's with child. The quandary of now what do I do? This one that I had planned a future with and this one whom I love, and now what do I do? And then, of course, as we read, the angel appeared to Joseph as he slept and said, don't be concerned. Mary still loves you and she's been faithful. And that baby in her womb is the product of the Holy Spirit of God overshadowing her. The very Son of God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And Joseph wakes up that morning and he doesn't put her away as he had considered, as he had intended to do, but he exercises faith. Faith that baby in the womb of Mary was none other than the very Son of God. He understood who that baby was. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Look over, if you would, keep your place here, we'll be coming back, but over in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. The Bible says very plainly, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so if we're going to know God at all, if we're going to know who He is, if we're going to realize that little baby represented in the manger this time of year is none other than the very Son of God, God on earth, Emmanuel, God with us, it takes faith on our part just simply to believe that He is. There are so many this time of year that all Christmas is about is sales and statistics of how much money the merchants can make this year, or whether or not they can get someone to buy them that coveted gift, or trying to buy the perfect gift for someone they care about. That's all Christmas is about, just a secular aspect. And too often we get caught up in that and we forget that it's all about Emmanuel, God with us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And this is where He gives Him, is at Christmas, sending His Son to this earth to be our Savior and to dwell with us. Without faith, it is impossible to know Him. We must, by faith, believe that He is. So many reject the thought that Jesus is God. They reject the very thought of God. They want to be able to live their lives without having to ever give an answer for the things they've done or the sins they've committed or the people they've wronged. They want to think that if they get away with it, they got away with it. But if there's a God in heaven, they might get away with it in the eyes of man, but they'll never get away with it in the eyes of God, who sees all and knows all. And so as we consider Emmanuel, God with us, we require that, or understand it requires faith on our part. Faith, first of all, to know Him, but also without faith it's impossible to please Him. As this same verse tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. I hope your desire this morning is to please God. As believers, that should be the first thing in our minds. The first motive on our list of priorities is to be pleasing in our Savior's sight. What is it that He requires of you? Well, first, it just takes simply faith to please Him, and faith then to act on what He instructs you to do on His behalf. And so as we consider back in Matthew chapter 2, Emmanuel, God with us, the first thing we understand is, first of all, this requires faith on our part. First of all, to know that's God in the flesh, and secondly then, to do as He tells us to do. A second thing this tells us, Emmanuel, God with us, is that God did in fact come in the flesh. God in fact did come in the flesh. Now this is proven by many different ways, the first of which is through the fulfillment of prophecy. We're not going to take the time to chase all these passages of Scripture down, but we find this throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, we find that the Messiah would come as the seed of the woman after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, and God is then pronouncing the curses. The curse on the serpent is that he would be destroyed by the seed of the woman. Now that would be very unusual, a very unusual way to say it. But God knew what He was saying. He was saying that there would be a child who will be born as no other child had ever been born, nor ever will be born after Him. Born of the seed of the woman. But then as you travel down time to the 22nd chapter of Genesis, you find that God has singled out a man by the name of Abraham. And God gives Abraham some wonderful promises. And part of these promises is that the seed of the woman will come as one of your descendants. And so in Genesis chapter 3, God, as He's telling us of this Emmanuel, God with us, says first He'll be the seed of the woman, then He'll be a seed of Abraham, and then a few chapters later in chapter 26, because Abraham had two children, which one of these would be the one to carry this seed of the woman line? Isaac or Esau? Well, God makes it very clear in Genesis 26:4, He'll be the seed of Isaac. Isaac or Ishmael, not Esau. Well, Isaac, in turn, had two children. Which one of his children will bear the seed of the woman? He had Jacob and Esau. And so in Genesis chapter 28, God makes it very clear as he gives Jacob a promise that the seed of the woman will come as one of your descendants, now narrowed down as the seed of Jacob. How many sons did Jacob have? He had more than two, didn't he? He had a dozen children, or at least a dozen sons. Now, which one of these would that line be that would then have that seed of the woman, Emmanuel, God with us? Well, over in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse number 17, God makes it very clear that Judah would be the one of the 12 that would see the seed of the woman come through it. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, if you follow it down from there, Judah had many children, many descendants, as Israel becomes a nation. And then down through its history, God makes a promise to one, that being David, and makes David a promise that the Messiah would come as one of his descendants, the seed of the woman, this Emmanuel, God with us. And then in Micah, we have it narrowed down to where that descendant of David, descendant of Judah, descendant of Jacob, descendant of Isaac, descendant of Abraham, of the seed of the woman, would be born. It would be the city of Bethlehem. All in fulfillment of prophecy. And so we have the fact that God is come in the flesh as this fulfillment. A second proof that Emmanuel is in fact God in the flesh is the virgin birth itself. This defies all scientific theory, all scientific evidence. It defies any birth that's ever taken place. It even defies common sense. To accept that Mary became pregnant without ever knowing a man, it just doesn't make any sense. But God lists it down as history. God records it for us as a statement of fact. And we understand the power of God and His supernatural working, the very fact that God can do whatever He wants to do. After all, He brought this whole universe to life out of nothing. He said it was void and without form, and He simply spoke, and there it was. And so, it's nothing to God for the Holy Spirit to come and overshadow Mary and to have her then bear the flesh, the humanity of our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Another proof that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, came at the baptism. When, as he was 30 years old, and he presented himself to John the Baptist to be baptized. And as John baptized him in the water, complete submersion, there was a voice that came out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit then descends from heaven to light upon Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. We have many other proofs in the miracles themselves. No one had ever done what he had done. No one has ever done since then what Jesus did in the flesh. Who else could take just a few loaves and a few fishes and feed thousands? It just isn't ever done to multiply the food in such a fashion as that. And so men have tried to come up with other explanations and other theories as to how it was done. But it was a supernatural miracle. How many miracles aren't supernatural? They all are. And Jesus did them repeatedly. He did more than what we have recorded for us in the Word of God. But God gave us enough to know that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. We see another proof of the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, at the Mount of Transfiguration. As Jesus went up to the mountain and he took his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, with him. And as Jesus was there, his countenance was changed, and he began to reflect the glory of God and showing more of his deity than his humanity that he normally showed when he was there on the earth. And as the inner circle was there as witnesses, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, speaking with him. And again, a voice from heaven comes to those three and affirms that Jesus is, in fact, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. And then an inarguable proof of his deity, that God came in the flesh through the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, is the resurrection. He told his disciples on numerous occasions before it came to pass that he would go to Jerusalem, he would be betrayed, he would be crucified, but he would raise again the third day. He told them on numerous occasions. I always wonder why they were so surprised when it happened, but I also understand that if I were in their shoes, I probably too would have been surprised. I probably too would not have understood as he told me. But the very fact that he told them he would die and then raise himself from the dead, the resurrection itself is the strongest argument that Jesus is, in fact, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God with us. And so as we consider this name that Joseph was told would be the name of this son Mary was to bear, God with us, Emmanuel, the first thing it tells us is it requires faith. The second is that God came in the flesh. And then the third is the best of the three. It just simply tells us that God desires fellowship with us. Can you imagine the thought of that? Now, if you meet somebody famous, aren't you pretty thrilled about that? Now, there was a baseball player. He was a star baseball player, Major League Baseball player. Came up with the Tigers. He was a star with the Tigers. He went elsewhere, played with the Yankees, was a star over there. And he went to our brother-in-law's church. And every time that we went and visited Amy's sister and our brother-in-law, we heard about this individual because they were friends. You know somebody famous, you want everybody to know that you know somebody famous because you can rub shoulders with them. But isn't it even more wonderful that the God who created everything that exists, the God that put breath into your lungs, that keeps your heart pumping day after day, all the time, in order for you to have life here on earth, that same God who sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins, that He wants to have fellowship with you, that He loves you enough not just to save you, but to reserve a place in heaven for you, preparing that mansion for you. But not just that, but that even today, He wants to meet with you. He wants to fellowship with you. That He's given you His Word so that He can communicate to you. And He's offered you the opportunity of prayer so that you can communicate with Him. Emmanuel, God with us. And as He's with us, He knows our every concern. What are those things that make you anxious, those things that make you concerned, or dare I even use the word worried? We come up with all kinds of different words for worried as Christians, but when it all breaks itself down, we worry about things. That's our nature, because we can't see beyond the now. But there is one who can. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And so He already knows what you're going through. He knows your concerns. But better than that, He knows how He's going to take care of them in the future. And even better than that, He's involved in taking care of those issues for you right here and now. God with us. He knows our concerns, but He also knows our weaknesses. He knows what causes us to sin, that sin that so easily besets us. But He still says, I am Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. He says, even though I know your failures, even though I know your sins, even though I know that you're going to do it again, I still desire fellowship with you. What a wonderful thought that is, that God's love is so forgiving, that His grace is all sufficient, and His mercy is all covering. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, he knows our past. He knows all the things we've ever done. I'm glad of that. Now, maybe it's not quite as meaningful to you if you were saved as a child as it is to me being saved later in life. But I'm glad God forgave that. And that even better than that, God used that to allow me different ministries that others who didn't have that past could never have. You see, God has prepared you for specific purposes and specific uses. And as God with us, as Emmanuel, He knows exactly how He can best use you, and He knows exactly who you can best minister to. And so praise God for your past. Now, not glorying in the sin, but knowing that God has put you together specifically with a purpose in mind. You see, He knows your past. And even knowing your past, He still sent His Son to die for you. And He still says, I am Emmanuel, God with you, because I desire fellowship with you, no matter what you've done. No matter what you've done. If God desired a murderer, not just a murderer, but someone who murdered people for no other reason than being a Christian, God can use you. Who is that, you wonder? His name is the Apostle Paul, Paul of Tarsus. He was a murderer, murdering Christians for no other reason than the fact that they would not recant. God can use you in spite of your past, but He also knows our present. He knows where you are now spiritually. Maybe you've been saved a short time, maybe you've been saved a long time, but maybe you're just a spiritual baby right now. And you say, well, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, and I don't know a whole lot about God, and I don't know a whole lot about serving God, and I'm kind of embarrassed and ashamed by that, and I wish I was better than I am. And on Sundays, we put on the right clothes, and we say the right things, and we put the smile on our face, and we can fool each other, but we know that God is with us, who knows who we really are right now. But you know, He still wants fellowship. He still wants to use you. He still wants to meet your needs. He still wants to be your best friend. He also knows our future. He knows what you'll face tomorrow, whether it be blessing or whether it be a challenge, a temptation, or a trial. God knows your tomorrow. He knows your future. But what better one to walk with today than Emmanuel, God with us, who will lead us the right paths if we'll follow, so that when we enter tomorrow, we'll be ready and prepared for it. And we'll have those opportunities seized that God gives us because we followed this one who is none other than Emmanuel, God with us, who desires to have fellowship with each of us individually. And so this Christmas season, let's keep that in mind, that that little baby is Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we thank You for Your love to us. We thank You for dwelling with us, so much so that as we trust You as our Savior, You come and dwell within us. What a distinct privilege that is. To truly realize that You are Emmanuel. But Father, help us to live out in our lives the ramifications of having You dwell with us on a continuous basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.